The health committee today. Who was there, and what were they saying?
Yeah, so this was Stephen Donnelly before the health committee today, and it's back to the National Children's Hospital and kind of where we're at. And obviously, I think people remember the last time the National Children's Hospital board was before the health committee. Just some concerning language around the fact that the project is now being held hostage between negotiations with the board and with the contractor BAM, that they had no assurances around when this would actually be delivered. Everyone's very concerned this is going to go into 2026. But basically, Minister Donnelly was before the committee today and outlined that the board and BAM and, you know, himself as minister are in agreement now that June 2025 is going to be the completion date. But in terms of the level of detail on how we get there, in terms of, I suppose, you know, construction workers, the amount of them, the amount of resourcing that's going to be put into this, the level of trust that is there between the board and the contractor as well, there's just massive questions still on whether this will actually be open on time or not.
All right. Mary Searle Kearney, there's at least one point of agreement between the minister and BAM, and that's the engagement between them was forthright and robust. But is that going to see the Children's Hospital come on stream any quicker?
Well, all parties came away saying they're working to June 2025, and then there will be a 6 month commissioning after that. So I think the best we can hope for is that that will be delivered, that the inspection on the ground and the being put in place by the board are enhanced. It has been in place, but it being enhanced by the board is going to continue and is going to keep a very strict watch on the delivery. You know, it isn't acceptable that a contractor would hand over 3,000 rooms saying they're finished, and then when the board go in to inspect that isn't anything near the case, and that they would reject that number of rooms. So that level of scrutiny is going on the ground and has been enhanced as part of the board. So all we can do is accept the good faith coming out of that robust meeting and forthright meeting, and work towards June 2025, and hope that it will be delivered for then.
You wish them well, no doubt, Mairead Farrell, do you?
I wish them well for the kids of the country, yeah. Like, I mean, like we all wish them well, and we'd all like not a situation to have that we have the most expensive hospital in the world, and still there's question marks as to you know, we're being told that it'll be June next year that it'll be delivered by, but under Stephen Donnelly, there's been 14 missed completion dates, like 14 missed completion dates, and it wasn't even under him that this whole process started. It was under Simon Harris. So, like, I mean, it just seems like it seems like one of those things where people, I think, at this stage are thinking, when is it ever going to happen, and when is it going to happen? But we seriously, seriously need to look at procurement in this country as well. Like, I mean, and look at the wastage in terms of public finances, like, because this is a situation, like, it is absolutely shocking and absolutely ridiculous that we have a situation whereby there are up to 3,000 rooms that BAM have said are done, but the hospital board says that none of them are up to standard. We've obviously had the 14 missed completion dates, and we've been told it's going to be in June, but who knows what's going to happen. And we still have a situation whereby, procuring operators, like, you know, who put out for procurement and that, still don't have some kind of register whereby they say how it is they've dealt with particular companies that they've put out to tender. We don't look at the performance of different contractors. There's not a link and a system whereby if I was, say, a contracting authority and Thomas was a contracting authority and Cullum, God help it, you went over massive cost overrun, that we would be able to look at that within a system. That's the kind of thing that we need to do. You'd think at this stage, when we've had so many issues with cost overruns, that we would look at public finances properly, that the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform would make sure the procurement works well, right, and that there isn't this constant thing of huge cost overruns.
But Thomas Pringle, in this case, you're dealing with a contractor here where their previous work, they've delivered bundles of schools on time and on budget, they've delivered road projects, you know, there's a good record of infrastructure delivery with this particular contractor. You know, if their record had been examined, there's no reason that they wouldn't have got this contract.
Well, apparently it's the nature of the contract itself that that has led to this. And actually, I remember in the Dáil back in 2014, Mick Wallace, when he was there, said that this hospital would end up at €2 billion at least. And the government laughed at him and they said he was mad and that there was absolutely no way it would do that, go anywhere near that. And at that time, the government was talking about a €600 or €700 million project at that stage. And so it's clear that the what was wrong was that the contract was done wrong and it was done badly at the start, and it allowed this situation to develop. And now we're at the point where we just have to try and get it finished to get rid of it out of the line, and that's desperate. And and it's clear that Simon Harris signed off on this contract when he was minister, and he allowed this to happen. So the buck stops with him, I think.
All right, Mary Siri Kearney.
Well, so I suppose a few things there. First of all, the manner of the contract is quite usual and quite normal. The size of this and the scale of this
project
is way beyond.
Okay, but the government have said they may not or would not use this model of contract again. I think the minister is on the record of saying that himself.
And we can do that, and a lot of things have moved on, and there is a learning out of it. But the scale, the sheer scale of this project is nothing compared to a school or a road or otherwise. You know, if you go down near the hospital at all, it is absolutely on a massive scale. In 100 years' time, it'll be treating children. So it is important to put that in context. In 1959, when Our Lady's Hospital or Crumlin Children's Hospital was delivered to the state, at that time, there was considerable worries about cost overruns. All of the children that have gone through that hospital have been cared for in that hospital.
So can I just be clear about the point you're making there? So you understand why there might be more complex cost issues with regard to the contractor here, or you think their record should be ignored on other projects?
That brings me on to my next point. We do not set procurement rules. Ireland does not have a say in that. That is at an EU level, and Ireland is needs to advocate for that to be changed so that history and experience comes into it. But otherwise, it doesn't at the moment.
Yeah,
it's not about it being Europe's fault. It's about we've got to say we're bound by EU public procurement, and to suggest otherwise is really terribly unfair. The fact is that the procurement law is set at a EU level, and that's part
Before I go back to the other panelists, when the minister promises greater scrutiny and supervision, if the contract doesn't change, under what powers does he exercise that scrutiny and supervision?
There are levers within this contract that are being exercised. There are challenges being exercised. There's been a withholding of 15% to induce them to finish and make sure that they finish on time.
Mairead Farrell, you're being unfair, Mary Siri Kearney says, but on the procurement point, it's not within the government's gift to change those rules.
First of all, we're talking about €2 billion. Like, we're talking about huge, huge sum of money. My God, I would hope the children are going to be able to be helped in it for the next 100 years at that kind of a cost. I have a bill, and I'm going to be bringing forward a bill in relation to procurement, because I think it is crazy that we have a situation where we don't keep on top and keep an eye on the type of procurement that we have, the performance of the contractor, the details on cost overruns, the use and the type of social clauses that we've had. Like, I mean, I did a thing where I contacted all the local councils and other contracting authorities, and they didn't even know what a social clause was. Some of them were saying to me that they abide by the minimum wage. Well, like, I mean, that's a law, not a social clause. But, like, I mean, we do need to look at the way public money is spent. Like, I mean, like, I'm not like, but like, we've had a number of situations in the last number of weeks, right, where we've heard about crazy money being spent. We do need to be looking at how public money is being spent, because it's infuriating to see this. Now, obviously, we all want to see this hospital now built. You know, you can say we are where we are at this point. But, like, you know, it was good that the minister met with them last week and all that kind of thing. But, like, you know, he should have been meeting with them extremely regularly over the last number of years. I know that David Cullinan had been saying that he should have been meeting them over the last 2 years. The fact that there was 14 completion dates that were missed under this minister, you would think that he would be making sure he's meeting them regularly.
Claire Scott, the politics of this, you know, once a minister becomes hands-on in any project, it's a case of, you know, you broke it, you fix it.
Sure, we're fixing it anyway.
We are fixing
we're,
it, yeah.
We're paying for it anyway, so why wouldn't the minister be involved in it? I mean, it's shocking that and look, the minister was sitting in the health committee today with his fingers crossed, hoping that it would be ready by the middle of next year or whenever it's going to be. God knows, it could be 2030 at this stage.
But do you think he has the power to do anything else? I mean, under the terms of the contract and where the project is now.
Probably under the terms of the
contract. Can he do anything other than what he's doing?
I'm sure he could exercise his powers a lot better than he has been. And he's been taking a very hands-off approach. He could be more hands-on and trying to embarrass BAM into actually delivering the project. But, you know, the reality is that everybody knew, well, not everybody knew, the government didn't know, the government thought everybody was mad, but Mick Wallace was able to say in 2015 that this hospital is going to cost over $2 billion because of the nature of the contract.
Right, but the contractor says at this stage that they've now over-resourced the project by 50%. So in answer to, you know, allegations that it was under-resourced, they've said it's now over-resourced and they've expressed confidence that the completion date of June 2025 can be reached. Providing there are no further substantive design changes, Claire Scott. That's what the contractor says.
That was the statement, yeah, that you know, they were in agreement that, you know, that we're going to see this built by June 2025. But again, I mean, the details of how this is going to get there, they haven't made that clear. You know, the minister has said that he wants to see construction workers doubled on site, but the minister hasn't been clear himself about whether BAM has given him that direction either, about whether that's going to actually happen. But yeah, they've also said that, you know, they disagree with what has been said by the board of the hospital, you know, that there haven't been, or they have said, yeah, the board have disagreed that there have been substantive design changes over the last while. But they have said, by virtue of the fact that this amount of money has been paid out, there clearly have been design changes because you've already paid out this money. So that was the argument made today.
All right. Yeah, the contractor says there's been persistent change throughout the project. It's had a material impact on the work programme. But the killer line in the second paragraph of BAM's statement says, without certainty on design, there can be no certainty on programme. Mary Siri Kearney.
Well, it is incorrect that it was a situation of they were just build only. In this contract, it was about an evolving design that both BAM and the board were working on together. So any statements like that are not true, you know.
There's a difference of interpretation over what constitutes substantive change and what is not substantive change, and that goes to an independent arbitration board. Mm-hmm. And BAM says that some of those design changes have resulted in payouts.
I don't know the sequence of a design that was co-created between BAM and then perhaps changed afterwards to substantiate any of those claims. But the fact of the matter is that any project of this size, and this is colossal, is going to have to have changes along the way.
Sure, but the nature, you know, of the contract that, the is means 24,000 new drawings and documents as BAM and, you know, time extensions were granted to them, as well as significant monetary awards.
Well, in their conceding of it being under-resourced and now allegedly over-resourced, well, let's see, the employer inspectorate team on the ground will adjudicate that.
Right, yeah. Well, they don't concede it's under-resourced. They just say now they have 50% over-resourced it. Okay, we're going to go for a break. We're back with more after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.